I've had a desire before the Lord the past several weeks when I read in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. I was reading and it talked about love, God's love, and it said, 1 John chapter 4, and verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And it goes on down in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And so I was reading that, and I said, Lord, I don't know all about this perfect love. I want to know, what does this mean? That your love is perfected in us. And that our love is made perfect. And that it is this perfect love that casts out fear. And so I have been really praying and seeking. And I'm still seeking. I still really want to know the depths of this. But I believe that the Lord has been helping me in the scripture. And I want to speak a little bit about it this morning. Let's start with verse 7 in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, there's one scripture that's kind of messed me up a little bit. Because I've thought, there's a lot of people that love out there. There's people that fall in love and they love each other and they're not even professed Christians. So I've had a little time with that scripture. You ever think about that? Well, what does that mean? Everybody that loves is of God, is born of God. I thought, well, that person out there, they love their child. So does that mean they're born of God? Or, you know, I've just looked at that. So there's got to be meaning here that is definite, that he's pointing to, that that maybe I haven't understood. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now he's pointing to something. Here's where you see the love of God. Now let's see what he's pointing to, because this is going to make the difference in how we look at this word love. What's really love manifested? Okay, in this, it's because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Kind of an allusion to John 3:16, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he's kind of pointing back to that he's already, well, that Jesus said. He got this from Jesus himself. Herein is love, verse 10. Now, this is also giving us a distinction about love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Now, I'm thinking here, this is the perfect and the unperfect. Okay? To me, it's giving me a distinction between something that was pretty faulty in me. It didn't measure up, didn't make it. This is not what we're talking about. When we're talking about perfect love, we're not talking about the affection that we had toward God, but we're talking about the kind that he had toward us. I mean, I'm talking about before we were saved. When you look at how mankind regarded God, and I'm thinking, okay, this is telling me something. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means atonement. It means reconciliation and friendship. That's what Jesus came to do to people that were out of tune, disconnected, dead in trespasses and sins, doing things that broke God's law, totally alienated from God, enemies in our minds, and all of that. Herein is love, that He loved us in that condition, loved us, and sent His Son to reconcile, to atone, to bring back to friendship. Those of us who had iniquity and unrighteousness, haters of God, and we'll get to that in a little bit, because really, when we discover the depth of the wickedness of humankind that was without God, that's when we can get to the knowledge of the love of God. And that's where we all have limited understanding. We're going to have to ask God, Lord, show me the true human condition without You, and how we all were until You saved us. And when we get to that understanding, then and only then can we begin to know just what it meant for Him to love us. And so that was one thing that the Lord brought to me, is that you need to understand just how you are without God. Not just how you were, but how you are. Without God working in through your life, without His love being the basis of your life and you responding to that, without that in your life, how are you? And so the Lord began to show me those kind of things. So He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's just keep going with that, because I don't want to have to go back and repeat. Our time is limited. But whenever we look back then at Romans chapter 5, let's read that right here. It says in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God, by whom we've now received the atonement." So He brings us back. He brings us back to Him. Reconciliation, friendship, fellowship, from death, from ungodliness, from being sinners, from being without strength. Now, how deep was our condition of being without strength? Jesus told of it, and He gave an illustration that has just blown my mind. In chapter 18 of Matthew, Peter asked Jesus, "How many times are we supposed to forgive, Lord?" And it was almost like, "I got a good idea. Seven? And that's a really good thought, isn't it, Lord? Seven times would be really, really amazing forgiveness." I can just imagine He was just like, "I figured it out. It's going to be seven times." But instead Jesus said, "No, Peter, it's 70 times seven. 70 times seven. I'm having a hard time with that, Lord. That's a lot." And so Jesus gave a parable, a story here about a man. The king had all these servants, and so He brought them all in, and and had a little business meeting with them. How much do you owe? How much do you owe? Well, he came to this one man. And this one man's account was so bad. He found out that he owed him 10,000 talents. Back then, that was a lot. I was looking it up, and I had written some things down. But when you look at, and there are different people's ideas on this. But a man who in a day's time earned so much, if you applied that figure of what a man could earn back then to this man right here, this is just to show you, this is just the contrast between these two men in this story. This man would have had to have worked 200 years to pay out this debt. So what we're saying is this was an unpayable debt. He could not live long enough. You can't even work that long if you live 200 years. I mean, we all of us look forward to the 60s when you can quit working, right? This man would have had to have worked hard. 6 days a week, 50 weeks a year, that's what you're kind of approximating there, if it was a Jew. You know, he worked 6 days. He took a couple weeks off for the different feasts and everything. So if you put all that together, this man would have had to work 200 years. So he couldn't, no way to pay this debt. Well, he begged mercy. This unpayable debt, I beg mercy from you. And I'll even pay it all. There's no way, God, there's no way you can pay this debt. But still he promised and God gave him mercy, or the king gave him mercy. Well, he turned around and found somebody in his life that owed him. This man that owed him, in comparison to what he owed the king, he only owed him 100 pence. 160,000 times less than what he owed. If you did the math, it's just billions down to a little over today's money, a little over 10,000. But it would be like 7 some billion to 10,000. This man would only have to work 16 years to pay this debt. This guy had been 200 years worth in debt. And he's taken this guy by the throat that owes him. He could pay 16 years and it was gone. I'm not talking about forgiveness of us between one another in this little message, but I wanted to show you Jesus knew how in debt we were to him. And he gave us this comparison to show this is just how low you were. And all of us don't realize that. We don't sense and know. And we can see how his issues with the Pharisees came from their own estimation of their righteousness. And he was telling them this is where you really are, unpayable debt. You couldn't live long enough to do this. And this, he also, in Luke 18, he tells us about that mindset where these Pharisees were patting each other on the back and themselves on the back for how they were living, as if they were good enough for God and that they were commendable, that God owed them. I mean, this really was the attitude, and this is an easy attitude to get. And there's a lot of discontent and disgruntled people in the world today because they have this estimation of themselves that God owes them. You see how far that's come? You see how that people live today not realizing the depth of their iniquity and woe and their standing before God? And because they don't understand that lowness, then they don't comprehend the depth and the quality and the quantity of the love of God. They don't get it. And when you don't get God's love, then you can't love. And that's what we heard this morning in the comments before the message, was that we've got a system that's broken. We've got families that don't function. And it's because they don't know this kind of love. They don't know the love that loves with an everlasting love. They don't know the love that loves with a sacrificial love. They don't know the love that pours itself out when there will be no return. They don't know the love that gives and gives and gives to an unworthy object. They don't know that because they all feel like, I'm kind of special and I really have been that bad and I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And God kind of owes me because I've done, and this is what we've got. And this is the way that we can be. There's a real danger that we can be this. Well, I've been pretty good. Well, I've always tried to do right. Well, I know the truth. Well, my parents were saints. I've been pretty favored. I've got things. I haven't gone out there and done all that. But Jesus is saying to us, your condition without me is an unpayable debt. You couldn't ever even work hard enough to ever overcome it. But I have loved you. I've loved you anyway. And so this has really helped me in this scripture, just to know the kind of love. And John said in chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What kind of love is it? It's a love we didn't deserve. It's a love that we were not at all able to do anything to get. And that's a lot of people's thoughts is, and I'll tell you something, this is where a lot of us hang up, especially if we're raised with parents that teach us godliness, is that we're always trying to perform. Now get this, I want you to understand this. We're always trying to perform so that God will love us. Can you see how wrong we are? We can't do it. Dear ones, we can't perform enough to make God love us. You know what's better than that? Is that He loved us first. He loved us before. He loved us when we had this unpayable debt. And He has said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I have atoned for you. And not only that, not only did He just look at us and say, I forgive you, what did He do? What were our wages to be for this kind of alienation in our hearts, for the enmity that we had in our hearts? You know what? I want to tell you something. Without God's love in your heart, did you know you don't really like God? I'm going to tell you, we don't. We don't want to be near Him. We don't want to talk to Him. Prayer's a chore. Something that we could just kind of leave off. We'd rather not have to do that. I'm just telling you the truth. This is a human condition. An average human, the normal human, doesn't like to spend time talking to God. What does that tell you? If somebody avoided you and somebody just never made the effort to talk to you, they didn't look in your eyes, they didn't ever want to get close to you, they didn't care about knowing you, they would rather you not even be in their lives. What does that tell you of how they feel about you? They don't love you, do they? And this is what this is saying. Herein is love, not that we loved God, because I want to tell you something, we didn't. The normal little old child doesn't like to pray. We don't raise up. We don't love God normally. Who do we love normally? Who do we put our worship and adoration to normally? I mean, I'm talking about the unregenerated human being. We love ourselves. It says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Where'd we go? Oh, we went out and did drugs. No, that's not what it said. It said we have turned everyone to his own way. We have worshipped and served ourselves and not our Creator. And what now, to give ourselves a perspective here, He is the Creator. He is in heaven. He exists. He is eternal. He will always be. And He created us. And He created us and loved us. And He created us with purpose. And He is God. He has laws. And we have broken those laws over and over and over again. And what's more, we don't care to obey those laws. As people, we want to obey our own rules. Some of us love rules, but we want to be the one to make them. And that's the way we've lived our lives. And a lot of people, they know the rules and the laws of God, but they have dumbed them down to where they just kind of consider them as a basic guideline, take it or leave it. That's how a lot of people live. So they don't love God's laws. If you don't love God's laws, can you really say that you love God? There's a lot of people in this world today that say and think that they love God, but deep down inside their hearts, they're still at enmity with God, and they don't really like God. They don't like what he's doing in their lives. They think that he ought to do them better. And they don't really want to take time, even though they say that they're Christians. So this love thing, Lord, help us. I want to understand and know better, but first I have to go and I've got to understand just how in debt I was to God and am to God before I can understand what it took for him to pardon me and to save me. How I have broken his laws. How I have been against him in my heart. How I have not loved him. And yet he loved me. And yet he took my place. Okay, the wages of all that and the punishment for that was that, one, I would be separated from him in my heart. And that's evident of an unsaved person. There is no unity, no fellowship, no friendship, no family. There is none of that the Lord really wants to put in our lives. So there is none of that. So a lot of us comprehend that, but we don't comprehend that we really should have died the death and borne the curse of God for our sins. Oh, I'm not bad enough for that. Oh, yes, we were. We were bad enough for that. We should have been crucified. And we should have suffered and died. The law said that a person who does these things ought to be took out and hung on a tree. And that's a curse. God put a curse on people that had to be hung on a tree. Did you know that Jesus took that curse for us? Jesus bore the weight of all of our enmity against God. This is something that's just, I know this, but just to comprehend it, Lord, it's just the depth that I can't comprehend. When you look at our enmity against God, then you take and you put all that together with, it's the whole world now. Jesus bore that anger and hatred of people against God. He bore it in his own body. Okay, he could feel the whole world's weight of enmity against God. There's a scripture. Oh, where is it? It says something about my iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. And what it's really pointing to is Christ bearing. It's not pointing just to a one person that feels that, but that's a way that we ought to feel. We ought to feel that way. But what it's really pointing to is Christ. The Handel's Messiah. He was inspired to put scripture together showing the promise, the birth, the passion, the resurrection, the final triumph of Jesus Christ. That's what that whole musical is about, or oratorio. And I heard a part of it one time that just struck me to the soul. And he took a verse from, I think it was Lamentations. I had never applied that to Christ, but Handel did, or whoever it was that presented in the collection of scriptures. Lamentations 1 and 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And they applied it to Christ on the cross, looking down in the agony of his heart. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And how was it that they passed by? They passed by and wagged their heads and said, if you were of God, you wouldn't be bearing that curse like that. You must be an awful man to be up on the cross. Come down if you're of God. Let's see how holy you are. And they just pass by him like that. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Jesus bore that anger, not only the anger of man against God, but he bore the anger of God against sin. For years, God had tried to show the people, if you sin, something has to die. And so they would sacrifice all these goats and bulls and watch that blood being spilt until I think they were just hardened to it. And they're just like, oh, another bull, another goat, got to do this. They didn't realize it's pointing to the sinless, perfect Son of God is going to bear my sin. And he's going to be pierced. And he's going to bleed and give his life. John, when he started the book of Revelations, he said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In his own blood. So it took him. So first thing, realize the depth of our debt and our iniquity. And then realize what Christ bore, what he did, what it took for him to pay our debt. Then and only then can we know the love of Christ. Oh, there's a lot more, I'm sure, that I could say. And I begged God this morning and this week, Lord, this is a story I can't tell. I can't reveal to the heart of man. But if I could, and I was just thinking this morning, if I could stand today out in Danville and just preach to people, and somehow this understanding could reach hearts. Once it reached the heart, the knowledge, the understanding of the depth of the love of God, it's so powerful. When you reach that, when you see it, it does something for you. It what it does is when you believe in it, and let's go back to 1 John 4 again. 1 John 4, he goes on. I want to read verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I find that this knowing, when I comprehend, it's just really a beginning of comprehension when we're saved, because we can't really comprehend it all. But when we see, doesn't it do something to, it creates faith in us? When we realize just how low we are without him, what he has done to save us, how much he loved us, even when we were unworthy, it awakens a belief in him. And it awakens a gratitude. Oh, thank you. Oh, I give my life to you. Oh, I will live for you. I know I can't pay this debt, but Lord, I love you for what you've done. Thank you. And that is the beginning of the love of God being then completed in us. See, it's not really complete and perfected until we believe it and know it and begin to reciprocate. That's what he's wanting. It's completed in us by what we begin to do then, as we realize God's love and as it dawns on us how unworthy we are. Then we begin to return. And it touches us so deeply. It touches us. It changes us. And we begin to love him with all of our hearts, where before, we didn't love him with all our heart. We loved him with maybe kind of a recognition type love, like, oh yeah, you're God, and oh, okay, you're my Heavenly Father, but this love, this kind of love that's born in us, is love for Abba. It is the spirit of his own Son, and it is the love that Christ had for his Father, where he said, I delight to do your will. You see how this love is perfected then? In us is that he gave himself for us. Now we give ourselves to him completely and fully, and we quit living for our own selves, and we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every faculty and power that we have. Now we love Him. And with that kind of love, did you know that what was impossible before, He now gives us grace to do, and that is to obey Him. It says that love is the fulfilling of God's law. It fulfills. It is the completion. It is the perfecting then of a love that began when we were unworthy. And now we're pouring it out to Him. And it goes further than that. One thing that drove this home to me was what I described Wednesday night. In that I was at a very low point, just this week, a very low point, facing something that to me was an impossible task, and my energy was not sufficient, and my head was aching and dull, and I needed something. And just a touch of love from my family, a member of my family, just a tight hug, and I love you. It did something. I was not expecting it. It was just given whenever I was saying, I just can't do this. I need help. I love you, Mom. It energized me. It changed my perspective. It gave me help and hope. And I've been in just awe of that all week. And I've just thought, this is some of the answer. That when I feel and believe and know and accept and receive the love of God, it does something for me. It does a change in me. It energizes me to do what I could not do before. It helps me. It rejuvenates it. It clears me. It frees me. Oh, what a wonderful power in the love of God. If the love of a human given freely And this really challenged me, because I thought, Lord, what could be done in the hearts and minds of men if we could communicate this kind of love to people? What can be done? And so I've been just really amazed. This is what He's speaking. Herein, if we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now we go on down and look at that verse that says, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, if you abide, if you continue in that love that God has for you, and it just fills your heart, and it keeps filling you, and you live in that love, and you believe it, and you act in that all the time, you're understanding and knowing that God loves you. What does it do in you? What does it do about your actions toward others? Can you still be impatient and critical and despise other people and think that you're better than they are? All of the natural human feelings that we get real used to feeling in our lives. Did you know that all of those things are not the love of God? All of our putting ourselves and others down. Did you know people today, that's what they do? They live for themselves. And if it means hurting you, I'm quite comfortable with doing that so I can put myself up. This happens in families. This happens between husband and wife. They do not, and we look at him and we say, well, they're in love with each other. They love each other. Well, that man loves his child. But when you get down into the life, those church people love each other, but when you get down into the life, how are the actions? I really don't like you at all. You get on my nerves. I don't wish you were here. I kind of wish I could go and not have to talk to you. These are things that go on in human life. They're lacking in this love. They have not understood God's love for them because they think that they're pretty good and kind of worthy of it. They've never understood their debt to God and how Jesus paid the debt and what it took for Him to do so. So they do not understand then how to accept and love imperfect people around them. They don't know how to do it. They don't have that love in them. So herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Herein is our love is made perfect, is when we believe him. We begin to understand what he paid for us and how unworthy we were. And what that does is it does something for how we view other people. It puts love in our hearts for them because that's what Jesus did for us. And it also changes how we view God. Instead of before, like, well, I just don't really want to do what he just said. Here's what he said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You see how this has come full circled where he gave himself for me. I have experienced and comprehended that wonderful love and sacrifice, and now I give myself to him to do his will and to delight. Not just to do it like, oh man, I got to do this. But, Lord, I want to do your will. I just want to serve you. I just want to humble myself before you. Lord, I love you. This comes after we have understood his love for us. It can never come before. We can't do it. We cannot do that on our own. But in that obedience then, coming out of a heart of total surrender to God's love, out of that it's our love is, the love of God is perfected in that obedience. Hereby know we that we are in him. When you see that change, and isn't it wonderful to see that in others? To see a person who comes from, I do this because I've got to do this, to, I just do this because I love the Lord. And there's just a change. And there's a knowledge then that I'm in God. I'm living in his love. I'm living in abiding in him. This is better. This is the essence of Christianity. This is so much better than the Pharisee system. Why? I've done all this. It is so much better. Remember what Jesus said about the man that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said that man was justified and not the other person. How can that be? We've just described how it can be. Is that God loved him while he was yet a sinner. And his acceptance and knowledge of that caused him to reciprocate and plead for mercy. And you know, when that happens, when we do that, the Lord saves us. There's such a power in that. It'll take away the guilt. It'll take away the power. It breaks the chains of sin. It's a wonderful power in that. Oh, I thank the Lord for it. So he goes on. This is what is so wonderful. Herein is our love made perfect. Well, let's see. Herein is our love made perfect. And here's the reason why it's so wonderful for us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, down in the heart of every person who does not really comprehend the love of God is a horrible fear of the judgment. It's just, there's just something way down deep. They don't always think about it. In fact, a lot of living in life is done to try to quell it. There's a lot of stuff that people do to still that voice that says, you're not ready to die. There's a lot that goes on. Activity in people's lives, they've got it so full. But when they get right down to it, if they've never gone through this of understanding who they are without him, accepting and believing his love for them, there's this underlying fear. And it's tormenting. It's a tormenting fear. If I died and met God at the judgment, I'm not ready. Now, Satan wants to use that fear on people who really want to do right. He wants to torment people, babes in Christ, who are just beginning, just starting out. He wants to get you away from Christ. He wants to blind your mind to the love of God. So he keeps this fear on you. Fear. Fear. It's not talking about a natural fear of preservation of your life where you run out of the way of a car and that kind of thing. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about the kind of fear that just nags on you, that maybe there's something wrong with you, and because you can't perform in this certain way, God doesn't love you, and that you won't be able to stand before him at the judgment. Do you see how flawed that thought is when he's just said, it's not that you loved God and that you were worthy of love, it's because he loved you. So it just knocks it all out. The power of that can transform your thought then. And it's not to give you the liberty to go out and transgress his laws. That's not what it's given you. Oh, well, I can do anything and he'll love me. No. That's not what it's meant to do. But it is, if we can comprehend and believe that he loved me, that he gave himself for me, and I love him for that, and I want to do his will now, and I no longer want to serve myself, but I want to do his will, that change in us takes away that tormenting fear. Now I know that if I just keep in his love, I can't do this by myself, but if I just keep loving him and him love, he loves me, but if I'll just keep in that love, I can face him at the judgment. And it clears me. I believe in it. I believe in his love for me. There's, I can't go through your whole life and line everything out and tell you how to do this and decide this and what to do with this problem. I can't do that. But you just keep in the love of God. You just keep in it. You keep believing in his love for you. Let it transform you, that you reciprocate. You obey his commandments best that you know. Best way to do that is just by continuing to love him. And then he says, in that love, you love others. Love doesn't work ill to anybody. So you just takes care of lying. It takes care of adultery. And it takes care of cheating. It takes care of getting angry and hurting people with our words. It just takes care of God's love. Is a great power in our lives. He said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I'm going to go on down. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because. And he underlines this now with this statement. We love him because he first loved us. Here's people's problem right here, is they're wanting to love him to make him love them. But we don't love him, and then he loves us. We love him because he first loved us. Trust this morning this has been a blessing.